Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today for our subject, for our issue, where are we headed in America? Roadmap for the future. Roadmap for the future. We've been introducing basically an elongated monologue introducing where we're going in relationship to that question. But the question is dealing with and focused on where we're going in relationship to the election that's coming up. The Bible is very, very clear in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation. The word exalt means to lift up, to glorify, to honor. But sin is a reproach to any people. Reproach means to dishonor or to shame or to insult. And ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that our so-called political leadership is saying and doing, some of the things that they're doing and saying today, literally is an embarrassment to every American. It is sad that we see this taking place, and it's all under the guise of COVID-19. COVID-19 is a dangerous, deadly pathogen, but it's been weaponized in the hands of the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats in order to do exactly what they're hoping will be accomplished on November the 3rd, and that is to overthrow, to destroy, to prevent President Donald J. Trump from being reelected. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's what they have dialed in on their GPS and where they're going down the road each and every day. It is smart, but it's demonically smart. It's not of God. It's an impossibility for anybody to look at what the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party is doing and say that somehow, some way, that's God-honoring. In fact, I'll say again, if I can tuck this in at this juncture, in the midst of the monologue that I'm wanting to get across to get to the main point, I believe that it's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen. Impossibility. If you say that you're saved, you say you've been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, and yet you're going to vote for a Democrat, that you're for the Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an oxymoron. It's an impossibility. It is an impossibility to say I'm saved and I'm going to vote for the one that is for sodomite lifestyle. I'm going to vote for the one that is for the destruction of America. I'm going to vote for the one that is somehow, some way willing to take away our Second Amendment. I'm going to vote for the one that is for murder by way of abortion. And I could go on and on and on. And that's what you've got for the United States of America if it is the Biden-Harris ticket that we go for. We need to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because as Christians, we need to be vitally concerned. We need to be praying and asking God every day to intercede and to intervene and to prevent the overthrow of the United States of America, which is going to be, which is now being attempted in the hallways and the backroom, smoke-filled rooms in the halls of leadership, in the mayors and the governors and the U.S. House of Representatives and the senators that called themselves Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, because of COVID-19, there's a mindset somehow, some way, that they can intervene and just simply by fiat change the approach for the election. Here's an article that says, do COVID numbers justify Pelosi's cheat by mail idea? The Democrat Nancy Pelosi is spearheading a national effort to implement what many cities label as cheat by mail, as part of the proposed HEROES Act legislation crafted under her direction. The idea is to federalize state election processes under the pretext that 100,000 plus, and that's about 165,000, 175,000 deaths by COVID, that demand that the safety of our citizen is guaranteed at the next election cycle approaches. Pelosi goes on to say she reported the claim that COVID-19 is an imminent threat in those tweets, and also claims that voting is the health issue, is now a health issue. And she repeated the fact that we need to have voting by mail as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, even the phony fraud, Dr. Fauci, says that it is safe to vote in person and not having to vote by mail. Of course, that's been overlooked by Nancy Pelosi and the AOC and the squad. I believe I have a call on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for your broadcast. I've watched this carefully, and I'd like to tell you what my take on the masks are.
Tell me.
The masks are the Democrats' way of blaming Trump. In other words, as long as you wear the mask, you're saying Trump didn't do enough to stop the spread of COVID-19. And that's all that is. It's the equivalent of, say, Trump went and said every Democrat has got to have a Trump yard sign in his yard saying Trump. Well, even the Trump supporters are forced to wear a mask. The mask is just a statement that Trump didn't do enough. The mask is a farce. It's not going to stop, like you said, the particulate matter of that organism is so small, it'll go through that media of the mask. I really don't know the purpose. Unless it would be to catch mucus if you cough, or bigger pieces, you know, that you would cough. But Dr. Youngblood, let me ask you, it's clear that there's communists in this nation. They're doing well. Was Eugene McCarthy a crackpot, or did he foresee today? What is your take on that?
Oh, he was far from a crackpot. He foresaw, not only was being able to foresee then, but it goes reaches out to the even present of what is taking place. The Communist Party USA has been allowed to operate freely in the United States of America, and personally, I'm adamantly opposed to it, but it's supposed to be on the basis that freedom allows them to do that. And even at that today, we have all of the colleges and universities on the national level that now we have discovered in a recent article that I have read that says that the Communist Party of China have simply embedded themselves in the United States of America by setting up departments in each of these colleges and universities, and they've been able to do so by buying it and paying a large sum of money to the colleges and universities, and it's simply set up as a communist infiltration. That is Chinese communist infiltration into the United States of America and the governmental system and what we're doing in the governmental process in America. Going back to your mask, it is simply a sign of submission and subjection. Going back to the even predating what we're doing now with the so-called COVID mask, goes back to the Islamics, and the women wearing the hijab or wearing a face covering or mask is an indication of submission to her husband, submission to Allah, and in subjection to that one that is dominating over. The mask today is simply a representation and a recognition of the citizens becoming sheeple rather than people and submitting to any order that says this is good for you. And it's setting the stage. It's the dress rehearsal for what will be the future with the mandated vaccine. We'll be talking about the mask and the mandated vaccine and a near future Let's Face the Issues broadcast. So don't miss it. Stay tuned in with that. But you're exactly right. We need to recognize what is taking place in America, and the source of it is that we have been taken over by a socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic, Communist Party that's now wanting to stand up and shut down, close, eviscerate, destroy the very foundations that our forefathers were willing to give their future, their fortune, and their very lives in order to preserve, and that which we have enjoyed for 244 years. You're exactly right, and thank you for your input.
Yeah. One other thing, Dr. Youngblood.
Go ahead.
I never went to college, but I did take a $600 investment and parlay it in today would be a $8 million a year business. And I have a brother-in-law who went to college for, I think, 6 years, and he teaches the heart, the workings of the heart at a prestigious university. Well, what I do have is 74 years of life. Now, he's got 6 years of college education, but in my 74 years, I believe I know the truth. He is a rabid Democrat. And you made the statement the other day. You said, I don't see how a Democrat could go to heaven. My brother-in-law never mentions Christ. As far as I know, he's an atheist. And when I talk to Democrats, I can't find anything of substance in what they say. It's just... he says the reason he votes Democrat is they help the poor. Well, I think they help them. They help them stay poor, so they'll always need them. They'll be needy.
You're exactly right. It's like the plantation and the slaves on the plantation, and that's exactly what the Democrats view, the Democratic voters, as those slaves on the plantation. The Democrats are the plantation owners, if you will, and that's the mindset. If you don't believe that, all any listeners got to do, if they differ with that, check up every city across America. That, for example, Chicago, look at the shambles that it's in. It's been ruled by the Democrats for about 65 years. Others have been 65, 75, 100 years rulership of the socialist Marxist Democrats, and yet they're not claiming that somehow, some way, it's Trump's fault. And the problem is, if we can get down to the rudimentary fundamental elements of it, is that we as believers, as Christians, we have failed to be the salt and light in the communities in which we're living. We need to be the salt and light. That means that we get out, we become involved in this society in which we're living. We get out of the shaker as salt, and we preserve the decaying society. We get out from under the bed and out of the closet so that we can be light in the world. And that's exactly the problem that we have today. A judgment begins at the house of God, and we need to recognize our responsibility as Christians and stop being fearful and sheltering in and thinking somehow, some way, that this is a secular system and we ought to let the secularist and the atheist and the lost make the decision on our leadership in America. And that's simply not the case at all. But that's good insight, and I thank you for your call, for your insight, and for your addition to this broadcast today. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
I wanted to address, we were covering a few moments ago, with the disparate treatment of some folks within the culture. The other evening I was watching one news/commentary program, and a montage was put on of all these individuals that threatened Donald Trump and are trying to stir up the animosity, hatred, and disgust in society. You know, they're the ones that are driving envy, the class division, the class warfare, the race division, the race envy, race warfare, the gender division, individuals that must absolutely divide us. But then, as they do that, they claim that Trump is being divisive. They claim that Republicans are being divisive. It's amazing how even in the midst of the Kenosha, Wisconsin story, there wasn't a story there. I should say, Portland, Oregon, wasn't a story there. Antifa is not burning and BLM's not rioting and burning things down. It was supposedly a myth, and then a few days ago, all of a sudden, it went from being a myth to a reality. But Trump caused it. It's amazing how everything has been stood ahead. And then we see Pelosi step out with her a blowout. She's getting her hair did. You know, that's a common term, getting your hair did. You know. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. Now that same business owner may have been cited if she'd been caught doing that. She may have had her business license stripped away. That's happened with a lot of people. Lori Lightfoot the other night said, "No protest on my street. We're going to shut down. We're going to make sure security stops everybody so I can get a good night's rest." Everybody else stays up halfway through the night in these terror-infested communities. They stay up halfway through the night hoping and praying that the mob doesn't burn their house down with them inside of it. Police officers are forced into defense mode where their own life and safety is at risk, so they're not able to get out in the community and patrol, look out for business owners, and look out for individuals. They're listening to calls in a lot of these communities because they're trying to survive themselves. But somehow or another, again, back disparate treatment, being differently, the notion of equal protection is carved out of the Constitution in Article or in Amendment 14. Equal protection under law, that means treating people equally. That means comparable treatment under the law, not just equal protection of the law. General Barr covered this a little bit with the Flynn story, understand, because Flynn, their best thing they could get him on was you may have lied. Now, the agents that interviewed him said they didn't feel that he had lied. However, they got him to plead guilty to a lie after having bankrupted him and threatened to bring prosecution against his son. I mean, most people would say, yeah, I'm guilty of something. Just don't destroy me any further. I've already lost everything. Now, that was supposedly on the basis of not being completely forthright, 100% by the FBI on a set-up interview. Now Hillary Clinton, you actually don't say Hillary Clinton. It's Hillary Clinton, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, right down the list. These individuals faced lies over and over and over and over and over. Where's equal treatment?
If I can jump in, there's no equal treatment there at all, as you've said. But I'm amazed when I listened the other evening to some of the montage that was taking that they'd set up showing some of the statements by the Communist Network News and some of their anchors. And I don't know who's doing the counting, but one of them said that Trump has now lied 21,000 times. 21,000 times. They've got a lie counter for the CNN, and yet. When CNN, I believe it was Wolf Blitzer, that interviewed DOJ Bill Barr, and in his interview, Wolf Blitzer had said something about being fair and balanced news for CNN, fair and balanced news, and Attorney General Barr kind of laughed when he said that because he knew it was a lie, and yet they want to count the lies, says 21,000 lies for President Trump. Greg, hang on. Don't leave. We have another caller that we'll entertain for a moment. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis here. How are you?
Great, Brother Davis. God bless you. Hope you're doing well today.
Yes, sir. We are blessed. Just a comment on Miss Pelosi, Fancy Nancy, right there. I'm so glad that she got the cover blown off of her. And she's not by herself. I mean, there's a lot of others that have misled America. They remind me of the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus talked about in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 23. He said the scribes and Pharisees love Moses' seat. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and keep, but do not do according to their works, for they say things and do not do them. So this is telling us right here, a lot of the things that they have told us about the virus and various other things, Dr. Youngblood, that have set this country on edge, you know, as long as it's going fair for them, it's okay. But then what's good for them is not good for us. So just like these scribes and Pharisees made laws based on the law of Moses, and they knew that was legitimate according to the law of Moses. But when it came down to them keeping the law, just like they was teaching the other people trying to do, they backed up on it. They didn't do exactly, you know, what they were teaching, in other words. So he said they bind their burdens heavy and hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. And this is what they're doing on today. So I'm so glad about this. Maybe some more other stuff will come to the light so that America can begin to see just how really bad we have been misled.
Amen. You have couched it so well. In fact, maybe we need to call it the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Scribes and Pharisees, Democratic Party. That would kind of identify it totally, I believe. You're exactly right, brother, and that even exemplifies further what we need to do as Christians is keep on praying and asking God to divinely intervene on November the 3rd and give us victory for America, that we can continue to know the America that we've known for 244 years. Brother Davis, thank you for your call. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, if you want to give it a title, where are we headed, the roadmap for the future. What are we doing in America? Where are we going? How do we get to where we are? Greg, I'm looking at an article that says the CDC says that 90% who tested positive for COVID-19 are not even contagious. The article, just very briefly, it's a four-page article. I'm going to pluck out a couple of paragraphs for the brevity for the broadcast. This is the state of reference through which the New York Times can publish an article admitting that over-testing is creating deadly delays while continuing the demand for increased testing, the article wrote. And it goes on to say the people who have gotten tested, CDC says, on its website as of today, are those who have symptoms of COVID-19, have had close contact with someone with confirmed COVID-19 symptoms, and people who have been asked or referred to get testing to their health care provider. Not everyone needs to be tested, CDC says, end quote. And yet we have a push across America that there needs to be extensive, massive, mega millions of tests. And the more tests that we get, the more then they say that they've been found with COVID-19. And they're saying now that 90% of those that are tested that show testing positive are not contagious and cannot transmit the disease.
Well, you got to keep everything hyped up. Literally, when you're dividing people and people by fear, you must keep the numbers hyped up. And with the numbers of deaths cratering, you know, going off a cliff, and the expose on the fact that there are comorbidities associated with, like you say, 90% of these deaths, people would not ordinarily be afraid. So we have to pump and push and get more numbers, bigger numbers, you know, outbreak here, even though the numbers of hospitalizations may be, number of deaths may be falling. Oh, no, big numbers. The absurdity of it all, I think these Marxist left, I think that they think they're getting through, that they're causing people to buy their rubbish. But the reality is more and more people are getting news that they're searching for their news. Now, Facebook's joined in with Twitter and others in trying to squelch most of these stories. They don't want the truth to get out, because, you know, they might inure to Donald Trump's benefit on November 3rd. But they have to drive they have to stoke either or anger. Every single day, you will see, you know, they're driving the warfare lately and the race warfare. The left is driving this. Have to have a story, even though, you know, 30 people may have been killed last weekend in the south side of Chicago, most black, most of them by other blacks. We have to talk about the one incident where some police officer fought with somebody. Just on the news this morning, an assailant comes up to a police officer with a bat. When I say an assailant, he continued to get closer and closer to the officer and refused to put down the bat. Now tell me, if this is you, is the bat a deadly weapon? I think the bat's a deadly weapon, because one blow and you're out of the game. However, the police officer had to shoot them. He wouldn't stop the weapon, and now that police officer is being charged. Why is that a national news story? Why not the focus on the 30 people that died in the south side of Chicago? Why did that happen? How many have we arrested? What are we doing to cure the problem? They don't want to discuss that. Trump's the problem.
The whole thing is they're trying to blame it on Trump. They're trying to blame it on Trump. And if we can think further down the road, it is the Democrats with their attempt to cheat and fraud. And that's where I'm going in relationship to the future, where we're going. And it's the November election, and there's going to be the ballot cheating. That is the intent. Here's an article that says, Democrats' election cheat master admits fraud is more the rule than the exception. A new report from the New York Post reveals that an expert on fraud and mail-in ballots says it's no myth, because he's been doing it, he says, on a grand scale for years and years and years for the Democratic Party. The report reveals that a top Democratic operative, whose name was not included in the report, talked about the problem with vote fraud, especially with mail-in ballots, and how he's been successful in doing it for years. The issue has turned into a battleground with the 2020 Democrats and are pushing for the mail-in ballots nationwide or everywhere they can get them, short of a national program. They are claiming that the coronavirus pandemic makes mail-in voting better. In fact, fraud by mail in New Jersey recently triggered a redo of the whole election because of the fraud. The Political Insider told the Post on condition of anonymity, because of fears of prosecution and persecution, that fraud actually is, quote, more the rule than the exception with the Democratic Party. Now, that's an operative insider. Yes. So, Greg, with that in mind, tell us, where are we going? What's going to happen on November the 3rd? Is it possible that on midnight, November the 3rd, that we Americans will know who we've elected as president? Is it possible that it will go for 30, 60, or 90 days in the future? Is it possible that even on January the 20th, which according to the Constitution is the date that the president is to be sworn into office, and or the one that is not reelected or not elected leaves office? Tell us a general overview of what you see taking place with this election on that basis.
Well, the confusion has already been begun. Here we're 60 days out from the election, and these folks, many of them have already admitted it. And when I say have already admitted it, they're already talking about having no satisfactory conclusion to the election on the evening of November the 3rd. They're talking about this carrying on and being challenged and challenged. We remember the Bush v. Gore case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. They're counting on a circumstance where they can say, hey, we still resolved this. You know, we did our best. you know, we counted the same 42 million ballots, and we keep coming up with a mixed bag, so we don't know who the president is. Therefore, since the president can't stay in office past January 20th because he's not lawfully the president anymore, and since the vice president can't take office, well, the next step in line will be the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Do you wonder why Nancy Pelosi is for all this chaos? I mean, yes. she literally had the hope and aspiration that she may be sitting in the White House as president of the United States.
Well, you know, two months ago she made the public statement that we do not need a president because the Speaker of the House could do all that the president does, and that's all we need. This has been fomenting in the back rooms of the strategies and the stratagem that's being carried out by the Democrats, and yet we find that it's an impossibility to do a mail-in vote and get a result. Here's an article that says, ballot counting to resume in tight Massachusetts primary with heavy mail-in voting. The race remained too close to be called on Thursday. 1 week after the election, they're still trying to figure out who won the election. Here's an article, Greg, that says more than 500,000 mail-in ballots were rejected during the primaries in battleground states. Here's another article that says how Democrats plan to steal the 2020 election, and it's talking about the mail-in ballots. And, Greg, we've got about a minute and a half, but I want us to focus on, for our listeners to understand, with the 20th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America, give us a step-by-step stratagem of what is required based on the 20th Amendment and what this could mean in relationship to the confirmation of a president on the 20th of January of 2021.
Well, the story is already laid out in that on the 20th, if we don't have a clear victor, then Nancy Pelosi will get to take office. Something that conservatives, Republicans, Christians ought to know about. The reality is, if a conservative does not win with overwhelming numbers, they will lose, especially states and cities, jurisdictions controlled by Democrats, because they'll keep recounting and recounting, and ballots show up days, weeks later. Oh, my goodness, these don't have any postmarks on them, but they're all for Biden. Folks need to realize, and believers need to realize, we've got a role to play here. You have a lot of folks that think we'll let sovereignty take care of this. Well, I got news for personal responsibility. I look at verses like Jeremiah 29:7. It says, in the city, whether I've caused you to be carried away captive. So folks, this is not our permanent home, but this is our home now. This is our home for now. And that verse goes on and says, pray unto the Lord for it, for that city, that in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. We ought to pray for, but we ought to put some feet on our prayers and get out there and vote in mass to make sure that we do what's best for this country. What's for this country will be what's best for us.
Absolutely. That's well stated, and for a closing remark. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.